Continue, Gucci and deal the beat. Egg Creloop, y'all, and shot a Breffni Park. Aye, we're here in Breffni Park. The fans are still out in the pitch. There's autographs being signed everywhere. There's a real carnival atmosphere here, but the heavens have opened up and damped it a small bit. We're laughing. I didn't see Oisin Gillen marked as tightly as my life there, Brendan.
No, he made a very juvenile mistake. He was followed by about 20 young fellas, and he went and he sat in the dugout where he can't get out. Oh, and there's just more and more of them congregating on him.
That's where the experience comes into play there. Poor Oisin, listen, he's an absolutely fantastic lad. And listen, he's staying back here and he's signing away at jerseys and autographs and what have you. Listen, folks, welcome to the DL debate here from Breffni Park. We're just after a resounding victory. Donegal, who had it put it up to him by Cavan, particularly in the first half and playing with the breeze. It was a game was in the melting pot, but a fantastic second half, and Donegal with a blue Cavan away and won by 19 points in the end. Absolutely phenomenal stuff. So we're going to get input from different people here. We're Colin McFadden, of course, legend of Donegal football now, and the backroom team of Donegal. He's going to be joining us. Damien O'Donoghue, ex-Cavan player, and he's a correspondent with Cavan Media. He's going to come up and give us an idea of what he made of the Cavan performance. And through it all, I'm delighted to say I'm going to be joined by Brendan Kilcoyne. We're part of the commentary team here today with Oisin. Brendan, leading into this game, all the talk in Donegal all week, the majority of it, well, you know, was about the goalkeeping situation, you know. And whenever we heard the news coming through, no more than last week, filtering through, that Sean Patton wasn't going to be there, I'm sure no more than the throne dressing last week could give Cavan a massive shot in the arm, because, you know, Bulrini had a great game today, but, you know, taking on away from him. But Patton, with that kick out and ability to get away restarts, it was a huge, I suppose, plus for Cavan, along with Keenan McGonigal not making it. You know, Oisin Gillen wasn't in the starting lineup. So just at the start of this match, Oisin, Brendan, compared with, you know, the form that Cavan was in, they were at home, there's a good crowd here, it certainly was one of them ones you were thinking, you know, it could go either way.
Certainly was, Brendan, and I was genuinely concerned coming up here today, you know, with the couple of injuries or the couple of uncertainties about starting players, as you mentioned outlined there. And you know, maybe that's just the manner of me that you worry coming into these games. But, you know, you have to say, with 10 minutes to go in the first half, the response came. And when Cavan brought that real aggression and when the crowd got into it, Donegal responded magnificently. They stood up to the challenge that was placed in front of them, and they just rattled off that 1-4. And to me, that goal just before halftime was the key score of the game. But, you know, you're coming in here, you're disappointed with last week's performance against Tyrone, and they come up here and they put 326s on the board, and it was a fantastic showing all over the field. You mentioned Gavin there, and, you know, he had a few nervous moments last weekend, maybe the goal, maybe whatever happened for the goal, but I thought his kickouts were excellent today, and I thought he handled a couple of balls there towards the end very well and did really, really well. So it'll do his confidence an awful lot of good. But also, really importantly, the likes of Keelan McColgan, Conor O'Donnell, Oisin Gillen coming in today, kicking 3 points, will get his mojo, his confidence back. So there's a lot of positives like that to take out of this from Donegal point of view. Them lads coming in, making a difference, and Conor O'Donnell, I think, scored 1-4 in total. Keelan McGonnell rattling the goal late on in the game there, kind of thing. So an awful lot of positives for Donegal to take out of this.
Yeah, and, you know, leading into it, Bren, we were looking at the All-Ireland series itself, you know, trying to gauge, you know, we talked about it a bit pre-game here today. You know, you look at, listen, I was at Cavan Tyrone early in the Ulster Championship when, you know, Tyrone absolutely destroyed them, took them off the pitch, and then we had a good performance from Tyrone last week. Maybe we were dropped a bit in terms of our input and our energy and how we'd normally play. Then we see Mayo, you know, who were terrible against Cavan, coming back in and lifting it, and trying to just get an idea of where teams are at in terms of Championship. Now, it's very, very difficult, but listen, that's everybody else. For Donegal today, coming here, they had to show again, you know, we're looking at who's the All-Ireland contenders right here, and it doesn't look like anybody's in any way the perfect team. Everybody seems to have up and downs in terms of their games, and the real thing now, Brian, is to be able to come in and, you know, get through your group and then have your best football still in you when you get to those quarter-final, semi-final stages.
Definitely, yeah, and you just, it's so tight. You've now the four teams and 2 points, Brendan, going into the last round of games, so, you know, Donegal will have to come up against a really resurgent Mayo, and we know the difficulties that possesses, Brendan. You know that, you know, Mayo have given Donegal a lot of strife over the years, and they seem to be, they're like this Jekyll and Hyde sometimes in football. You know, they can be so bad at one day, and we saw what they could do last night then against Tyrone. But that came from the heart, that came from pure hustle and bustle on Mayo's behalf last night. And I just think Donegal probably have more quality or more advanced in their development than maybe Mayo are going into the final series of games in 2 weeks' time. And I think it's really important that, you know, we came through today without picking up any major injuries. Everyone seemed to be come through the game okay. They even had the luxury of withdrawing Michael with 15-20 to go. So you'd be hoping that the likes of Keelan McConnell and Sean Patton in particular would be able to get some time back. I see the great Colin McFadden coming in behind me here now, so I might just stick these mics on him for you for a second.
Yeah, well, there's a spare one here, Ben, and you stay in, no problem. Colin, thanks very much for joining us. You're looking, he's on the shorts here, he looks like a man could still be out waving that left footed wand of his around. How's it going, big guy? Listen, brilliant performance, Colin. Listen, the games are coming thick and fast. Did you feel there was a wee bit too much of a doom and gloom with that defeat last week with Tyrone, you know, in terms of, you know, we were 2 points up with 7 minutes to go. We just weren't able to win kickouts after that. There was there a lot of regrouping, you know, quick turnaround, going into a very buoyed Cavan team here today?
I was supposed to last weekend. You know, we were all disappointed when we left McCool Park on Saturday evening. And I think when you look back on it over Sunday, and, you know, you can see there was a lot of mistakes and a lot of errors. And, you know, conditions were tough, obviously. And Tyrone made life difficult for us as well. But, you know, in the bigger picture of it, I suppose the defeat in the first night wasn't a great start for us. And especially looking for a bounce after the Ulster final. And, you know, but I suppose it made life difficult for us. We had to come down here to Cavan in the day and get a result. And, you know, we got the 2 points today, and you have to look forward now to a tough challenge against Mayo in the final game. And, you know, all sorts of permutations and possibilities are possible after that game for all four teams in the group. Like, so, of course, last week was disappointing, but it was good just to get back. I'm sure the boys were delighted to get back in the field tonight too and try and right the wrongs from last week.
And see, last week we're trying to delve into it. You know, we looked a wee bit on Donegal, like, Colm, is that just a factor of the season that there's going to be an odd wee dip in there, and maybe Tyrone were sitting smarting from a game maybe they should have won against Armagh? They had a good few weeks to wait on us, then they were praying for this big victory. Was it a case of them just coming with a bit more need to win the match, and just on the night was one of those nights where you take a wee dip?
It's hard. No, they can't be making any excuses for it. I don't think, like, all over the field we're probably below par, and, you know, it's you know, maybe giving up, coughing up possession, and, you know, conceding scores at the other end of the field. And of course, even the boys, like, you can see the two goals early on, and any time you can see two early goals again, it's difficult to get back into a game. But the boys are well to battle away, and you know, at the end of the game we went 2 points up, and to lose it from that point of view is another disappointing way to go out in the last 6 minutes there. And, but you can't just put it down to the last 6 minutes. You know, there was errors throughout the game that we weren't up to scratch. But, you know, hopefully in the long run it might work out for us. Like, but you know, it's disappointing. It's obviously very disappointing, but, you know, you just have to deal with it. It's in the past now. You have to move on and dust ourselves down and come up here and get the result today and go again then in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, we certainly did that. This pre-match ago, Sean Patton was out again. We seen him out doing the warm-up. He must be kind of close, Colin, because Keelan McGonigal out, and we chose not to start Farah just as a precaution. He comes on and hits 3 great points, all the left foot. You must have been doing some shooting practice there. Yeah. So listen, Keelan and Sean, are they? Would you expect that they could be ready for Mayo?
Aye, well, they're, you know what I mean, they're a work in progress, I suppose, and a couple of 2 week niggles there, but it's they're not long term, so you'd be hoping another 2 weeks and you can assess them again before that, and hopefully they'll be a bit closer to action in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, and it's looking like a potential double header. A lot of people are talking about a potential double header at Croke Park. Has there been any info where anybody can say, or is that just a rumour that's come out? Sometimes these rumours come out and fly about everywhere on us, and they grow legs of their own. But that's what a lot of people are talking about, a potential one with an Armagh and a Galway.
Aye, well, I suppose we're kind of looking at speculation on that too, and wondering where it'll be. And we've been told, fed back to us, that the possibility of double header in Croke Park is likely. But then it was mentioned about Roscommon or in Carrick and Shannon, and even here in Breffni Park. But I think the fact we played here today maybe might be going against that. But I'm not too sure. It's a pity they can't announce the fixtures before, because people are asking me during the week too to see they want to make plans to go to the game, and you know, I suppose there's families and that, there's a lot of organising, but I suppose you have to see what the picture is after the weekend, see what combination they think will work best as well. So now we'll just have to see, hopefully it'll be out in the next couple of days and we can look forward to that. But it's going to be a tough game. You've seen how, watching TV last night, how good Mayo were against Tyrone. So
the hardest team to figure out, of all the teams I've watched this year. But you know, on today's game, in that first half, you know, we had the breeze and Cavan, you know, were playing well. They were taking the game to us. It was a 50-50 match. Was there a fear that we had the breeze, that we needed to score more? The goal that they got in particular kind of kept them in touch.
Yeah.
You know, our goal, Finbar's goal in the start end of the match was a massive one, just to give us that 7-point lead. But you know, with a few minutes to go in that half, there was only 3 or 4 points in it. Was there a fear with the breeze that it was advantage Cavan, or were you happy enough that our style of play, Com, is good on the counter attack and on the break? Were you in any way worried that we didn't maybe have enough scores at that point with the breeze?
Well, I suppose like when we were right first, the breeze wasn't too bad, but in the warm up it was quite strong down in the goals to our left here, which we were going to play into in the second half. But you know, we always know that we've quality players that can play well into a breeze, maybe sometimes even better. But it definitely was concerning, you know, like shortly before half time, where those level scores, and that goal kind of kept Cavan in touch. You know, Padder got a half block on it and it just fell to your man at the back post. But the boys finished well now. Like the last 5-10 minutes of the first half, I thought there were a couple of turnovers, and defensively broke out, and the last one then, after the hooter, there was a good turnover, and you know, there's a good attack or a good counter attack on the break, like, and to get the goal from that and push it out to 7 was definitely a cushion we're glad to have, because what's the 2 points now, and we knew Cavan had a number of options. If we kick 2 pointers, like, the game's never out of sight. So we're pleased now for Finbar to go up at the back post there.
He was playing very advanced today. A lot of the time he's found himself up the pitch a lot. Listen, it was a brilliant performance across the board. There's so many players. But listen, I have to mention three, you know, Michael Murphy, Conor O'Donnell, Shane O'Donnell. I mean, their impact in the game and their fitness. I mean, Shane was dictating the whole game early on. He can seem to, from a stand and start, just take off and go. And Conor, of course, is 1-4, was pivotal. And Michael, every time he was near it, everything that he did, including it took him a few minutes to touch the ball properly, and his first one was a bang 2-pointer over the bar. So you know, every game, I think, probably a bit different from Tyrone last week, even though Langan and Murphy were unbelievable. The spread of scores, 12 different scores, kind of left us last week. A lot of players didn't contribute in the scoreboard, but today we had the spread back, but particularly those three really, I thought, really were epitomised everything good we did.
Aye, well, like, you know, there's a lot of, looking on, I felt there's a lot of very, very good performances, but there's no doubt those three stood out in particular. And I suppose the two Shane and Kieran and even Conor Donnell there, I thought was brilliant when he stepped up in the first half, and he ended the 1-3 or 1-4.
That's right.
And, you know, the good conditioning of them boys, and the quality on the ball, and you know, to make the right decisions, and it's nice to see them stepping in and making good decisions today and kicking scores. Murphy, supposed to, like, he looks like a young fella out there, the way he plays sometimes, and you know, I think he's getting a bit of abuse about early on in the game, and he swings around, kicks a 2-pointer over the bar, and that soon silences the stick that he's getting from the crowd or from the Cavan players. But you know, he's playing a focal point there in the team at the minute, and you know, a third two is kicking off the ground, especially, you know, it's kicking off the ground, someone that, like, Oshie McConville, I remember when he was playing in his prime, he stopped kicking off the ground because it was too sore in the body. In his later years, and like Murphy's, whatever age now, and he's striking the ball well off the ground. And you know, it's nice when, you know, you've confidence in a man that can step up, and he chipped over 245s there in the first half. And you know, they're important, because at those stages, I think Cavan were back level, and we're trying to tag on a couple of points because we were playing with the breeze. So now it's a good performance from all, and you know, with that, with good legs there at the end of the game, and like even Caelan McCauley came on the corner back today, and he got ahead of a lot of play, and you know, mightn't get on the ball, but those runs ahead of the play was able to create space for other boys in the team to capitalise and kick their own scores.
I was getting a bit hot and heavy in the line as well. You were keeping your cool now. There's a few words exchanged. There was a bleep machine going down there, I think, with Raymond Gallagher. I could only see Raymond Gallagher and the Cavan manager's face coming. Jim had a few words. What was happening there?
It was probably just kind of a wee bit frustrating, I suppose, at times there. I think we turned the ball over twice, and we're on the we won their kick out, I think, and were the free from their kick out, and man and down, and then we were on the break, like, in the second time then as well. Michael Langan broke it, and Shane O'Donnell was clear up in the forward line, I suppose. Is that we were under pressure because we felt we did need scores before half time, and you know, when the play was slowed down, but in the heat of the championship, that's going to happen. And,
yeah,
you know, there's no hard feelings, and I don't think from either side. And, you know, it's, you know, you're going to get that, and there's nothing too crazy in it.
Do you think, just going from that, do you think that it wound up our lads? Do you think that was we they were poking the bear? You know, do you think it kind of helped put? I'd imagine the half time there was a good buzz in the dressing room.
I think our boys reacted well to it. Now, and, you know, it kind of, you could feel that wee edge creeping onto it, and the crowd were getting involved there for maybe a 10-minute spell before half time, and I think that's when our boys kind of reacted well, and it's a good sign of a team, and we're pleased with the boys to see that reaction from them, like, and they stepped up, and we got a couple of big turnovers after that, because, you know, it can go either way. That sometimes you can, you know, that can give Cavan a lift and Donegal can go into their shell, but it was a good character of the team that they did knuckle down, and, you know, and kept their discipline too, because it's very easy to get carried away, especially on the field when your intentions are up, like. But the discipline was good from the boys, and, you know, because you can't afford to lose a man to a black or a red card in this game, the damage that can be done. So, you know, just the boys reacted well to it, and they definitely were pleased on that side of things, and, you know, they lifted it and kept the discipline, so that was important.
Yeah, roll on, doesn't come. Great victory tonight. You can go enjoy your bank holiday Sunday night. I know you are busy there. Fair play to you. Well done. That's Colin McFadden there, Donegal assistant manager. Of course, 2012. What year are we in now, Ruth? 2012.
13 years ago.
From the All Ireland. Yes, we'll be back after this break, folks, with more roundup from this victory, Donegal's victory over Cavan here at Breffni. Yes, folks, welcome back here to Kingspan Breffni Park, where we are going through this brilliant victory of Donegal, posting 3.26. Brian, that's a huge scoreline. We're talking about getting to 20 points to compete in most games and plus. So to hit 26, that's 35 points. It's a massive scoreline. And Donegal not letting up. Do you think, Donegal, we're thinking about the potential of score difference being an issue between maybe being second and third potentially in the group?
I'm sure it might have been in the back of their heads, but they just seemed to be playing that second half like they were enjoying it, Brendan, like they were enjoying playing their football, and they just, every player wanted to get up the field into good positions and make right decisions, as Colin was saying. And, you know, I thought particularly attacking the opposition kick out, I thought we were brilliant at that today. So Kieran Thompson, Big Huey, Michael Langan, Michael Murphy when he was there, I thought we just dominated them in that area, and that gave us a foothold then to get up the field, or gives a platform to get up the field and get our runners off the shoulder. And they just seem to be loving it, Brendan, every one of them out there. And, you know, that was typified by Keelan McColgan scoring the goal in the last couple of minutes, in the last kick of the game, really. Like, they weren't letting up. They hit what he wanted, to rattle the net. He could have easily went in and punched it over the bar, but he absolutely rattled it into the roof of the net. And I think that's really where it came from. Of course, the score difference, but, like, when it comes down to it, is it really going to matter? It's going to be head to heads, probably, that's going to be more important, Brendan. And, you know, we're playing Mayo. If we beat Mayo and Tyrone beat Cavan, which you would expect on the showing from Cavan today, it'll mean that we'll finish second in the group.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't matter what the score, am I right in saying that?
Unless you've got the three teams on even points, I think then it goes to the scoring, if that's potentially going to happen, which is probably unlikely as well.
Unless there's draws maybe or something but I can't see that happening.
But on the kick out today, we've seen the last day when we're struggling, we struggled to get those last five kick away, the thrown box. We definitely had done a load of work on movement today, because we did get one away to Finbar Rody last week when we were under pressure, and I was thinking, you know, he was wide open when he took it. We worked on it today, and it worked for the opening, I think, maybe 15 minutes, but then Cavan really copped onto it and really squeezed up on us again. It became a fight out the pitch, but it's one that we won. I mean, we destroyed them on their kick out, but certainly in our own, we still won the majority of them. And when you think about it in the modern game, man, if you have Donegal have more possessions than Cavan, they're going to win the match.
Yeah,
and it really, it still hinged hugely on that kick out.
100%, Brendan, and like, we scored 3.26, so that's 29 kick outs in 3 or 4 ways. That's plus 30 plus kick outs. So it is that our our team are facing and they can just bang in. And I thought they did that to great effect today. They didn't go up, but there was no real heroics trying to go up and pull them out of the clouds. They were just breaking them down to men that were there, and they were able to create numerical advantages around the ball where the ball was breaking, and suddenly break and use their pacey runners then off the ball, Brendan, and thought it was really well done. And I think, you know, they obviously did talk about it a lot during the week because I'm sure they were frustrated by it last weekend, but I thought they dealt with it really well today, and they were, as you say, creating different options for Gavin. I thought he was composed in the kick out. There was one that he gave away in the second half kind of thing, but he basically took his time despite the pressure coming on from the crowd and maybe him feeling that the referee might blow him up to hit it into the right areas, and we got good results out of it.
Yeah. So the system Donegal was playing there, Bryn, really, when we sit in and go on the counter is when we're at our best. If anything, the week Gavin was sitting and hitting us on the break was a bit dangerous because we often weren't properly set. And I was talking about the zonal area in the country. Sometimes a wee 1-2 inning, they were getting in behind. Joy, there was a half couple of goal opportunities in there. They were playing really well early on. Like, it was a real, you know, when you think about it, Bryn, the two halves were very different. Donegal completely destroyed Gavin in the second against the breeze. In many ways, it kind of suits the style of play they'd be doing. It was a bad start to the second half for Gavin too. He did a couple of bad wides and a couple of attacks. They gave away the ball, maybe gave the bit of impetus to Donegal. And all of a sudden, the game seemed stretched. Gavin seemed to have the majority of the players on our half. And as we broke down, I was just saying, because of the pace of Conor O'Donnell, Shane O'Donnell, Murr was brilliant as well. Everybody was coming out to you. Yeah. Everybody was playing their part in terms of pulling whatever defenders were there one-on-one. And when you're one-on-one with these Donegal players, there's only one option that's going to happen. There's going to be a foul or there's going to be a shot away.
Yeah, and I felt in the first half, Brendan, Cavan were dropping off. Obviously, when they knew they were defending against the breeze, they were dropping off to protect the arc, and they were allowing Donegal to get up to the edge of the arc. Now, Donegal were still finding gaps, so they were still getting through and they were creating goal chances. Fimber had a brilliant goal chance. So there was a couple other good goal chances in the first half, and Donegal were finding a way through, but it was just a bit more slow and methodical. But as you say, once Cavan kind of stepped out a bit and kind of pushed up in Donegal, it left the space in behind that Donegal were able to punish magnificently, like, and they really did, you know. So from that, really well managed by Donegal. And you know, what will be interesting now, Brendan, is going in against, what are we going to get from you? Are we going to try and get the structured defensive setup that they kind of played against Cavan the first day? Are we going to get the kamikaze football that Mayo like to play? Mayo like to play high-risk football, and that's what they're good at, but so are Donegal.
Yeah, they are indeed very good at it. And Oisin Kelly's here. Oisin's got reaction from our boss, Jim McGuinness. We're going to play that later on the show off. And Oisin, of course, is our head of sport and our chauffeur today. Me and Brendan tend to relax, and Oisin does the piloting. He looks after us there. So listen, Oisin's caught up with Jim. Jim is saying on the injury front, as I was speaking to Colm, that our players should all be ready for the Mayo game in a couple of weeks. Then, of course, Sean Patton, Alexa Keelan-McGonigal, and hopefully Jason McGee is in the mix there as well. Well, folks, but after the break here, I'm going to catch up with Damien O'Donoghue, who's going to give us a few words on the Cavan perspective on this defeat. I'll speak to you after the break. Yes, folks, welcome back to Breffni Park. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Damien O'Donoghue, ex-Cavan player and now the main man in Cavan sport in terms of giving us the lowdown. And Damien, me and you were talking during the week, we're on a wee podcast together. We're doing a favour for a favour here.
That's exactly
it's always good to talk to you. And you were saying to me, listen, if Patton's not playing, you know, there's going to be an opportunity here, particularly what you've seen with the Mayo performance. And certainly we've seen that, particularly maybe in most of the opening half. You know, it was very good from Cavan. They were getting about Donegal and against the breeze, particularly the Cavan goal kind of kept really the Donegal points weren't having the effect that they should have, and not pulling away until that last minute goal. So first half we have enough thinking with the breeze now, two pointers, there's a great opportunity for us here.
Without a doubt. Do you know what, the killer of the game for Cavan for me was those last minute and a half of the first half. Cavan had possession of the ball, they were down by 3 points. I think it was a ball in that was tried to play for a backdoor punt for Sean McAvoy, and it was intercepted. Donegal go up the other end of the field, they hit that point from McBurty, getting the free, sticking it over the bar. Cavan win the kick out, have possession of the ball, Hooter goes, and then you have the opportunity to get a score, but the last thing you want to do is give away the possession of the ball. Cavan at that stage were in front of the sideline, three players, and you could see they were goosed, and they didn't have the presence of mind maybe just to put the ball over the sideline and say, we'll take this half time rest, and 4 points at the break. Cavan would have been delighted, looking at James Smith to come on, looking at Paddy List to come on. You'd have thought, we can hit a few long range points here, we can really squeeze this Donegal outfit. And instead, Donegal get that goal, and to me that goal was probably the winning of the game. It was a stab in the back on Cavan, who had been competitive in the first half, but in the second half it wasn't competitive, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I mean, just on that, Hooter, we see it a lot there now. Teams are waiting for this last play, but you know, are teams forgetting if this ball's turned over? You know, I think because a lot of teams are so good on the ball, you think that, right, worst case scenario, there'll be a foul, or it'll all go out of play, or there'll be a shot.
Yeah.
But if you're on the counter there, particularly when we're waiting for this last play, you are vulnerable. And of course, the ball came inside to Michael Murphy. You know, and I'm from a Cavan perspective, every time he gets the ball, you're thinking, oh no, because the right option comes off him. Either he's going to score or he's going to create, and he was integral to that. He shipped one way, he shipped the next, fisted the ball across and then it came in across to Finbar to finish. So you know, that's the danger, and that last play is the turnover ball, because you're probably vulnerable to the break.
And again, I suppose we're all learning the new rules, we're all getting used to the scenarios in the new rules, that at first we thought, oh, Hooter goes and everybody just kicks the ball out, and then we've seen, I think it was during the league, was a Galway first team that came up with that score after the Hooter, and now everybody's copying it, looking for it. But there was a telling moment when Cavan, the three players, McVitie, Donoghue and Kieran Brady, were in that small little triangle. But you can see Kieran Brady, all he had to do was step maybe 10 yards, 5 yards even, out towards the centre of the field, and he would have been an out ball. He didn't have the energy to do it. He was out on his feet at that stage. When the other two players saw that, to me, they should have read it and said, look, we're pinned on the sideline here. We need the out ball. It's not there. Let's just get to half time. And again, that's just experience. They'll know it for the next time they're in that situation. But they weren't aware of it in that moment, and it cost dearly. Look, in the second half, you have to say, Donegal, much, much the better side. But I thought, in fairness, and people will turn around and say now, well, look, it was master psychology by Jim McGuinness to come up and remonstrate, will you say, with the linesman and the fourth official, and then come right up into Ray Galligan's area and start remonstrating there. And it lifted the Donegal crowd, it lifted everybody. But I think Cavan were under Donegal skin at that stage, that it might have been a passionate reaction, which we all want to see. We want to see that passion, we want to see that desire and that hatred of losing. That's what we all love to see along the line. But Cavan had Donegal in a good place. They didn't manage to keep them there. That's the problem. But that's the quality that Donegal bring.
Yeah. Just on that, and the goal in hindsight was massive, but 7 points, as we've seen in the modern game, isn't a lot. You know, you as you say, you had James Smith to come in, you had Paddy Lynch to come in. The start of the second half started very poorly for Cavan. There was a couple of bad wides and a couple of bad possessions given away when you were going forward. Maybe there was a bit of a tight referee call against you. It just seemed like the start of that second half, when really, if you had a few two-pointers, maybe pulled it back to two points, the pressure would have come on Donegal. You know, that, I thought that was pivotal in opening 5 minutes of the second half.
It was 3 points to two in favour of Donegal in those opening 10 minutes of the second half, and that kind of was the start that Cavan needed. Cavan needed to push on and get a few extra scores at that point. Darren McVitie's 2-pointer on the 8th minute kind of gave you a glimmer of hope, but then Donegal being Donegal, 2 points in response, and all of a sudden, within 2 minutes of Darren McVitie's 2 points, it's right back up then, and it was a 7-point game at that stage again.
See, that just on that 2-pointer that McVitie had, you know, and I think he's brilliant at that. Obviously, it was at the game in Healy Park where he pulled Cavan and did himself with 2-pointers. How come Paddy Lynch hit the 2-pointer free after that? You know, he's come on the pitch, he's rusty. I thought that was, if I was in charge there, I would have said, McVitie, you had that. You know, he dragged it wide. That was still the moment where Cavan maybe were, you know, I could have asked a question still.
The big thing for me on that, and this was part of it with bringing on James Smith and bringing on Paddy Lynch and bringing on Oisin Brady, they're three definite starters for Cavan, but they're not fit to start at this moment in time. But you're not going to get them fit to start if you leave them sitting on the bench.
Yes.
Now, it meant that Cavan's energy dropped completely after 10 minutes in the second half. You could see James Smith was gassed, Paddy Lynch was gassed, and that was part of maybe the decision that further down the line, we're going to need minutes in these boys' legs. So we're going to have to get the lungs burning and get them used to this championship intensity. And even if it costs us a result, it's in the long term, it's the better thing to do. But in the long term, Paddy Lynch is that free taker, because Paddy Lynch can hit 55 metres off, you know, off ground and out of hand. So I suppose it's look, let's get him to get his eye in, and it's a longer term plan. That's what I'd imagine it was. I'd agree with you in that moment. Had McVitie stepped up maybe and sailed that over the bar, or the other one to come in, Corrode McKiernan is another one that we would have liked to see get on, which probably means he's further away than we thought, but he would have, that's a two pointer for Corrode McKiernan on the left foot when he's there naturally. So Cavan, maybe even talking to Ray Galligan just after, and he was saying that look, at the Tyrone game is very important, but Donegal have to go and beat Mayo, and if they do that, then it doesn't matter, we're in the preliminary quarter final, and we need to think a bit further down the line, which was a little bit strange to hear him say, because I think we need to think about the next game and beat Tyrone, but he's thinking preliminary quarter final, and it's the week after the Tyrone game, so maybe he's looking at expecting Mayo to be beaten by Donegal, and on that second half performance you'd probably say Donegal should beat Mayo, but you just never know what
you
Mayo
never
turns
know
up.
Mayo, and I tell you, you never know with any sport, any GAA result at the minute. Now Armagh currently 32 minutes gone, they're 13-8 up in Dublin, not surprised by that at all, you know, that's not a huge scoreline, but Monaghan at home to Clare 14-6 up, and just every game, I mean, you're shaking your head, so am I when I'm saying, am I reading that properly, they need the glasses, there's just so much, you know, teams up and down in terms of performance. I thought Monaghan would absolutely blew Clare away today. Now maybe there's a breeze there, we don't know, you'd expect Monaghan will come back a lot closer than that, but there seems to be so much difference in performances, particularly maybe, as I say, this hoodoo that Tyrone have over yourselves, probably the last game you need now in terms of maybe, you know, decent first half, great game against Tyrone, now or Mayo, now you're coming in this Tyrone game, and really, you know, should you lose badly to that, it's going to put you in a very bad position going into the quarter. Now you need a good performance against Tyrone. To beat them will be difficult, because they'll be smarting now from their defeat, so that's a difficult proposition coming up for you next.
It's absolutely huge. Like, look, at historically Tyrone are the worst opponents we could get, and but I said to Ray after in the interview, you know, this is an opportunity for you to get one back on Tyrone, but he didn't seem to have that as a motivation in his head. I think he's thinking of a preliminary quarter final, but I don't think we can put our eggs into that basket. Let's take what's in control of us. But Tyrone were, you were in Oma, and they were much the better side, there's no denying. Cavan were second rate there, so what Cavan have to do is really put something on to Tyrone to make them think that well, this Cavan team could beat us, but it's going to take a dramatic improvement in performance. I think in the second half there, Cavan they showed a lack of intensity in terms of their turnover, desire to get torn over Donegal on the counter attack, just far too easy, and Tyrone will be looking at it and saying, well, we'll go short with kick outs, we'll win ball deep in our own half and then break at absolute speed, and there's opportunities with this Cavan defence, so there's a good bit for Cavan to work on over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, listen, I hope you make a game of it, Damien. Thanks so much for joining us. Give it them Tyrone boys if you can. Listen, and to all our Tyrone people listening in today, listen, bit of friendly rivalry as ever. That's Damien O'Donoghue there. Thanks a lot for joining us, Damien. Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News is in here as well. He's going to give us a few thoughts on it. Ryan, you were down getting a wee bit of reaction there. A happy Donegal camp after last week. There seems to be a lot of quick doom and gloom around where we're at. You know, last week it was like, oh, the world's going to end. Now we're back on the front foot again. I was just saying to Colin there, there's going to be blips in the season. And just last week was one of them weeks. So the energy may be a bit low. Tyrone were coming flying in there. But now it's all happy days again. I mean, nobody's seen like 3:26 today. And particularly that brilliant first second half from Donegal.
You're not trying to bring some perspective into the fickle world of GAA.
We're looking at Ronan's currently getting hammered by Clare. I'm like, I don't know what's going on in the world. At least we had a bit of sense of this game this half hour.
I think that is the point, that it is going to ebb and flow over the season now. Like, I think a lot of people are still looking at it, you know, in the old format of the, you know, the provincial championships, and if you lost, going into the back door, it was hard to lift it. But you know, for like Donegal now to win in All-Ireland, you need to play 10 or 11 games. It's going to be very hard to win every game or be on it absolutely every day. You know, and maybe you need a wee sting in the tail to maybe correct different things. And you know, probably last week it was the kickouts, and maybe it was the kickouts for the last couple of games had been a bit of an issue. It was much, much better there today, I thought. And
we certainly had worked on the shorts a bit. Now, Kevin did get wise to it then as well. You know, the way we were working the short kickout, they certainly were able to pair up then, and they forced us to go long. But do you think, you know, just looking back from last year, Ryan, that this and not having Jason McGee out there, is that really the kind of difference? If you think about Donegal, if they can go all the way, do you think he needs to be playing, or do you think we can cope without him in terms of kickouts?
Well, I know I was listening to you and the Smaller Fish during the week, and Parkinson was completely dismissing it, and you were fighting the corner well, and you had to, because I think it's a huge like last year was different. It was easier getting kickouts away, and they didn't have to go out through the arc. But like, you know, Jason had a huge Ulster Championship, and he got injured down in Cork. You know, our next game was against Clare, and Clare played their sub goalkeeper, if you remember. And then you played Louth, you know, and Jason was back in for the semi final. So we didn't miss him hugely when he wasn't there. But I think you definitely do miss him in the team. I don't know, is he going to be able to get right and get up to speed? Like Jim says, everybody's going to be fit for 2 weeks' time. So hopefully he can come on and do it. But I think, you know, whether you have Jason or not, you need more targets. And I think that was just what happened last week. You know, it started very well with Murphy winning them long. And, you know, there wasn't enough support. Whereas today, when the ball was boomed out long, you know, Thompson was there, Langan was there, Huey was there, Murphy was there as well, Kieran Moore in about it. So they're just, you know, I'm sure... Like, I don't know what it was like for Gavin looking out the field, but I would say there was more options this week than there seems to be last week.
There definitely was, Brian. Do you think that's pivotal, that Jason McGee, or is it too late in the season now to expect him to come in, Brian? Because, you know, the modern game, the pace that's on it, you need to be like 100% fully fit. Is it too kind of late to be thinking that he could come in?
Oh no, I don't think so, Brendan. I think even if you have him, get him right for 10-15 minutes to come in at the end, if you had him to come in against Tyrone last weekend just to give you that second outlet for Gavin to hit, he obviously isn't at the level that they want him to be fitness wise but I'd say he can't be too far, and I'm sure there's 15-20 minutes in him if they can get that right and get a couple of good weeks into him now, and then they'll have another week break into the next game. So I think it is crucial that we do get more options out there that side of the field, and, you know, particularly now with Keelan, we don't know how long Keelan McGonigal is going to be out. What happened today was Murphy was took off, and I was kind of thinking, I hope this doesn't go wrong, even though we were 8-9 points up. That's just me, the eternal worrier kind of thing. But you need them options coming in off the bench, so you do that just to give you that bit of sort of, to give you that other option, kind of, and Jason did it magnificently last year, and I would be very keen to see him come back in and to give you that outlet, because Huey isn't a 70-minute player, even though he played the full 70 minutes today. So he came off last week, you were left without him too. So they're the problems you have, kind of thing, you know, that Huey and Michael, are they going to give you that full 70 minutes when it comes down, when you get to Croke Park, that you don't have someone like Jason to come in then and to take a bit of the heat off in that area?
Yeah, that last 15 then, Ryan, could be crucial, as Brendan was saying. If you had McGee to come in, because when a team senses that they maybe have you, they go full squeeze, and they know then just keep them, like Tyrone did, was a perfect example, we couldn't get out. So to have Jason come in, even if he was at that whatever level of fitness, all he got to do is, if he can get his hands, not all, but it's a difficult thing to do, but he is, like, some of the catches he pulled off last year, you know, is exactly what you need in those pressure moments. He wins the kick out, he takes the mark, and Donegal build again. So to have him in there would be a huge element to Donegal. When you think about taking out a really big team in a pre-quarter final or quarter semi,
yeah, like, definitely. And like, I think, am I right in saying he played the four games in Ulster? Like, so, you know, like, it's, you know, he has been involved with the team this year. Like, you know, so hopefully he can get in. I still think if this team gets to Croke Park, gets Sean Patton there, I think there's a whole different range of kickouts that could open up in that, you know, in these provincial grounds, whereas, you know, a breeze is more of a factor. You know, it can be tough if a team gets you penned in. You know, I think there'll be more space in Croke Park, and I would think Sean Patton would find it if he can get himself right as well. So, look,
the changing game at Croke Park is going to be a big one. I can't wait to see this highlights tonight of Derry and Armagh in particular, because just to see Dublin and Armagh, just to see how Armagh defensive shape, which we do, how that works against the Dublin forward lineup again. You kind of shut down, because the kickouts are going to be different and the play is going to be different. So that's what we're aiming towards. And now we're brilliant pace-wise, attack-wise on the ball. It's about our defensive shape. Will it hold with the 11 in Croke Park? That's a big question.
Yeah, that's it. But you know, there's a lot of play there. You know, it's are you in front or are you behind? Are you chasing the game? Like, are you pushing out a wee bit more and team gets in behind you? Like, you know, like you were wondering there today, Donegal played with the breeze in the first half, and you were looking at half time, and before that goal, you were wondering were they up enough? But they seem very comfortable in front, even if they're playing against the breeze, that they're going to be able to get through and get their chances and be able to control the game. And maybe they don't want to be chasing as much. But, you know, at some stage again in this championship, you know, they're going to be behind, they're going to have to push out, and that'll leave more space. And, you know, it'll be up, you know, there'll be maybe men left one-on-one at the back, and, you know, they'll just have to survive.
They'll have to survive, is right. And we will tonight. Ryan Fair of Donegal News, thanks a mil for joining us on
Thank
the
you,
Daily
lads.
Debate. You have a good evening, sir. We're going to be back after this break. I'm going to hear from Donegal boss Jim McGuinness, who caught up with our own Oisin Kelly for a bit of reaction back after these. Yes, folks, welcome back to Breffni Park here, there as we close up this DL debate and get on the road back to Donegal with 2 points, two badly needed points in the bag. I want to thank Brendan Kilcoyne here for joining me on the show this evening. Of course, ahead of sport, Oisin Kelly, Damien O'Donoghue and Ryan Ferry and Joe Dex, of course, for looking after us and producing the show there. As I say, on pre-break, Oisin Kelly caught up with Jim McGuinness for a bit of reaction. Joe's going to play that video now. And of course, thank Colm McFadden was up as well. Brendan Kilcoyne's keeping me right here as ever. We couldn't forget Colm McFadden, but now we're going to hear from Donegal boss Jim McGuinness.
Listen, Jim, disappointment last week. You were looking for a bounce back last week. You felt that some of the stuff that Donegal was doing just wasn't right, but it seemed to all click there today, and you got the response, I'm sure, from the group that you wanted.
Well, listen, there was a very tough battle there for a long time, but you know, they responded really well to everything that was fired at them, and we found that rhythm that we were looking for last week. That wasn't there, too many unforced errors, you know, bad decision making. But no, listen, very, very happy first and foremost to get points on the board. It was a very, very important game for us from that point of view. Everybody's on 2 points now, and we'll see how it goes for the next game.
Yeah. Was it hard to get a rhythm going in the first half? Things seemed to liven up there and get feisty towards the end of the first half, and maybe that give you that bit of extra edge then heading into the second half?
Possibly. Listen, these games are never over anyway. You know, it's actually it petered out there, which was very, very unusual considering that Cavan had the wind in the second half. We were expecting that the battle that started in the first half would continue on into the second half longer, but you know, they did very well to get the goal just on the stroke of half time, and that settled everybody, I think, and allowed us to play the football that we want to play. And there was loads of running in them in the second half, good decisions, people stretching the game, and got a lot of scores on the board.
Something Cavan couldn't handle was the sheer pace that Donegal brought in that second half, particularly in the likes of Shane Connor and Kieran Moore there.
No, listen, Shane had a really good game. I think probably got maybe four from play there, you know, and he didn't get any the last day. Michael Langan got, I don't know what he got the last day, and he didn't get any, so that's the way it worked. You know, you want people to step up, but I think we only ended up with five scorers last week, and it's probably 12 closer
today.
12, so that makes a huge difference, that's probably one of the biggest positives from the game.
There was a lot going on there towards the end of the first half, and you spoke to officials and you went to see Raymond Galligan as well. What was actually going on there at the time?
How long have you got, Dodger? No, listen, we were frustrated with some of the calls. We were trying to talk to the officials, we weren't getting very far. In fairness to Sean Hurston, second half, he was brilliant. He was chatting us the whole way through, and you're trying to bring the attention of things that are going on in the game. There was a couple instances where we were on the transition, and those transitional moments were pulled. You know, if there's a conversation to be had, can we not let us have the transition and then have the conversation? So there was two or three things like that there, where there was crucial moments almost in the game at that moment in time, and we had done really well to get ourselves into a position where we could actually really, really get at them, and those moments were taken away from us, so that was very frustrating.
Yeah, and listen, the group was very heightened going into the changing room at half time, so what did you say to them to sort of calm them down and get them into that mode that you've seen that they went into at the start of the second? second.
Just focus on what's important. Like, that's the bottom line, and that's the same every day. You've got to focus on what's important, and we started to turn the screw in that regard, and then it's just a matter of keeping that going and keeping everybody in the right moment, and obviously the bench as well had a huge impact. We had really good legs off the bench, good energy, and they scored heavily as well, so that's a big plus.
So the next day now, you've got Mayo, obviously, coming up. I'm sure you watched them last night, that one against Tyrone, but does that give you confidence now going into that?
No, definitely, it's a huge game, absolutely huge game. It's going to be a huge game anyway, but you know, they put a brilliant performance in last night, really stepped to Tyrone, asked a lot of questions off them, and took the game to them, and particularly in the first half, like, their energy levels were serious, you know, so they didn't allow Tyrone probably to get into that rhythm that they can be so dangerous in. So yeah, we know what's coming down the track. Both teams have a fortnight now to prepare, and we'll just have to get ready for that.
Even if you won that game, it doesn't assure you of top spot, so do you have to think of that situation, because you're going to have an extra game thrown in as well, possibly, if you are going to make a quarter final?
No, we won't be thinking about that. No, we'll just focus on the game, get ready for the game, get ready to prepare for a really good side that's going to ask a lot of questions, and we have to bring that level today. We've got to bring that to the game if we have any chance of winning.
Well done today.
Thank you.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen, and there's free admission entertainment every weekend.